Most believers here will be familiar with the words in Hebrews chapter 11, which we believe the writer there, whenever he was writing them, he had Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in his thoughts. It says there in Hebrews 11 and 34, speaking of those who had remained faithful to the Lord, it says, quench the violence of fire. And if you're in any way familiar with that which Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had to confront, or were confronted with rather, you will be aware that it was indeed a terrible fire. They had a situation come around where their faithfulness to the Lord was going to be greatly tested. Now, someone said long ago, and it's a good number of years ago now when I was first saved, that it is very easy to be faithful when the sun is shining. Yet when opposition comes, in whatever way it comes, then it is a different matter altogether. And while it is true that most Christians will not have to face a literal fiery furnace as these men had to, yet I believe, Christian, if you're living for the Lord, in your experience, you will come to know the significance of Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 4 when he said there in verse 12, beloved, he's writing to Christians, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I'm sure almost right away, Christian, you can say, well, I know exactly what Peter is saying there. A trial come upon me, and it did indeed seem like a strange thing. There are those today who will preach a health and wealth gospel. That would not be in keeping with what God's word teaches. Because nowhere are we promised wealth if we're Christians. Now, there are plenty of wealthy Christians, but that does not go against the teaching of the word, that we're not promised that. And we're not promised health either. Man is a fallen race. He's part of Adam's fallen race, and with that fall comes all the infirmities that are associated with human nature. And we're very aware of them. There's sickness and all kinds of failure and all of these trials and troubles that can come upon people in general. And nowhere in God's word are we promised immunity from any of these things. In fact, in John chapter 16, 33, it says, in the world ye shall suffer tribulation. The word carries the meaning of following after. In other words, Christian trouble in some degree or another will follow after you. And from time to time it will catch up with you. Where it says there, in the word ye shall suffer tribulation, it really carries the meaning of trouble and conflict of soul. And Christian, you've had trouble of soul, conflict of soul, for one reason or another. And therefore, brethren and sisters, do not be surprised that all the fiery darts of Satan will seem at times to be coming your way, one after the other. And troubles will seldom come on their own. Now, when we look at these three men that we're looking at this morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you look at chapter 3 and verse 12, you will see that they were actually delivered through jealousy. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, if the king here had any discernment, right away, as we would say in Northern Ireland, he would have smelt a rat. And seen that the motive of these men was not necessarily the welfare of the king, but really they could have been doing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's jobs, and so on. But nonetheless, they were delivered, and in verse 13, you will see it yourself, they were sentenced to death. Things have turned around dramatically for them. One day they seem to be governing their provinces, as I see it, with great efficiency and with dedication and labouring in a conscientious way. And the next day, they're really on death row through no fault of their own. Their one so-called crime is faithfulness to the Lord. Now, this is true history in God's Word. It is not some got-up story that someone has put together that seems a little bit fanciful and might be exciting for people to read. It really happened. And these men were put in that position where on a human level, you would have been tempted to turn away from the Lord. There's no question about that. And folk, I trust that when trouble comes your way, that you will know the encouragement and the consolation and the strength that God alone can give, that he gave to these men. Because in their situation, he was the only one who could help. The title of my sermon this morning is, When Faithfulness Costs. When Faithfulness Costs. Now, as I've intimated earlier on, you may never be in a difficulty similar to these, but even in the ordinary things of life, if we can call it that, in your situation last week or this week, there are those things that trouble you. And there are those things that seem to be coming against you, and they cause you conflict of soul or trouble of soul. And it's harder to be faithful than it is whenever the sun is shining brightly and you're on the crest of the wave and everything is rosy. So as we look this morning at this situation, when faithfulness costs, I want you to notice some things. Notice first of all that these men made a choice that would go against man's natural choice. They made a choice that would go against man's natural choice. The first few verses, the first seven verses approximately of this chapter 3 in the book of Daniel, you will see that this proud king had set up a golden image. Apparently it was wood covered in gold. It was about 90 foot high and about 9 foot wide. It is widely believed among commentators that it was a replica of the image that the king had seen in his dream. And you can read about that in chapter 2. It shows you how easy people were affected when they were without the Lord to thinking in a superstitious way. And he erected this great image. When certain musical instruments were sounded right across the board, there was to be this prostration before the king. It didn't matter who you were. You were to fall down before the king. And these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not out looking for trouble. But I tell you, they refused in no uncertain way to render homage to some silly old image. They wouldn't do it. You see, everyone here, all around them, right throughout all the provinces, everyone had a choice to make. It doesn't seem that there was very many standing with them. And they made a choice that would not have been man's natural choice. In fact, you'll see there, if you look in verse 7, that the majority of the people made a different choice. It says, therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages, a huge amount of people, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now think for just a second of who these men were. These were men who were in positions of authority. I believe their influence was a very positive one. I'm talking about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were men who had responsibility and they took it very seriously. And they were not men who had set out to rebel against the king. They were men who certainly would seem to have commanded some degree of respect, not least because of their upright character. But when they made this choice that would not have been the natural choice of men, folks, they were nothing more than misfits. Misfits. Social outcasts. in the eyes of society. For do you see there where it says in verse 7, they fell down and worshipped? It really means to do obeisance to. It literally means to fall down on the ground and worship. And they wouldn't do it. And as you look around you in 2011, there are people who are willing to give their allegiance to almost anything. Yes, they will give their allegiance sometimes to religious things, but there are very many people in Northern Ireland who are very happy to, even though they would not acknowledge it as worship, they will worship other things. Some people worship TV, not against TVs at all. Some people worship it, couldn't live without it. Some people worship sports. Sports great, very good to be involved in it, and if you're involved in that, good for you. And it's something certainly that is encouraged. We would encourage young people to be involved in out and about, involved in sport and all of that. But listen, none of those things are to be allowed to come of God for us. And there's other things this morning that we're not going to go into. Obviously, we have children here in the meeting. We're not going to go into it, but there's lots of sin that people worship. I could take you to people today and I could name several different types of sin before you, and those people worship it. That sin is what they think about in the morning when they get up, and it seems to be all that they think about all of the time. You know what we're speaking about here, Christian. And yet you, as a believer, if you love the Lord, you're going to be the misfit. If I asked you the question, have you ever felt like a misfit? Well, I'm not going to ask you that, but you have to answer it in your own heart. I have. I've been in situations sometimes where certain individuals have tried to make me feel like a misfit. And I'm sure many of you have here as well. If you look there, again, and I'll read it in Hebrews chapter 11. It says there in verse 24, it's about Moses. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, up until that point in his life, he had been receiving respect and adoration, and he'd been an authority. He'd been well schooled in the ways of Egypt. He'd been looked after as a human being from he was a young man. He'd been very well looked after. But he saw the falseness of it all in Egypt. He saw the godlessness of it all. And it says there in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And they were substantial riches. We're not talking here about a few thousand pounds. This was something that was substantial. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Again, where it says they're esteeming, it really means to lead it before your mind and to weigh it up and to evaluate the whole thing. He looked upon the situation, and on the one hand, he had the applause of people. He had all the material things that he could ever need and every pleasure that he could possibly think of. It was his for the having. And on the other hand, these despised people, these misfits, these who the Bible says they were reproached. And it says there, by faith in verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. And sometimes, Christian, sometimes you and I will have to make a choice that would go against the grain. Maybe you're in a group with your friends and everything is good, going well, and then there's a suggestion made, and you know that if you partake in what is suggested, you know it goes against your conscience. You know it would be dishonouring to the Lord. And I'm sure that your attitude will be, well, be a misfit or not, I'm not going this way. I'm not going this way. And let's face it, being faithful, even in a situation like that, it costs you. It can cost you friendship, which we all value. Human friendship is very important for us all. It can cost you popularity. And I know there are instances of people in employment and so on. And it can cost them promotion. It can cost you promotion. You see, these men stood out as different, and therefore they were recipients of wrath, just as Moses was. and justice, perhaps on a lesser scale, you will be as well. And as I've said before here from the pulpit, it seems that more and more these days, while yes, you can go out and there are many unsaved people who respect what you're doing if you're living for the Lord, and there are people who would never offend you in any way, but when you take the wider picture, more and more biblical Christianity and biblical Christians has been put into a position that they are seen as misfits. Seen as those who are very different from everyone else. And in that situation, brothers and sisters, it's harder to be faithful. Because in that situation, faithfulness will cost you. You'll notice here that these men were completely committed in their choice. They said, we're not going to fall down before any image. And perhaps at that time, they didn't realize just how extreme the situation would really become. That they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. But if you look in verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. The word careful there in the original language means we do not think it necessary to answer you after the way that you want us to answer. In other words, we're completely committed here to this case. In other words, King Nebuchadnezzar, here's our position. And with all due respect to you, don't hold the gun to my head. The word's full of advisors. I'm sure at some time in your life you people are saying, oh, I think you should do this, or I think you should do that, and would you not do this and do that and the other, and they've been advising you, and in a roundabout way they've been holding the gun to your head. Something's going to happen if you don't comply. It's bullying. Being a minister, and maybe I can give the example of a minister. There's a man told me one time, and I've no reason not to believe him, he's a minister. Many years ago, he'd gone to a charge to a church, and two men came to the door just very, very shortly after he was installed as a minister there, and they made very serious allegations about another man. But of course, they said, well, if you don't put him out of the church, we're going to leave, and our families are going to leave. And the allegation was so serious that the minister went down to the local police, and he explained it all to the sergeant. And he got the sergeant to, he was more than willing to help. He looked at all the intelligence that they had, and it was all lies. In fact, he explained to that minister, there's absolutely nothing in that man regarding the crime that you've mentioned. There never has been, and neither is there any suspicion of anything like that against that man or any of his family or close associates. He came back and he met with the two men again, and they said, well, are you going to put him out? I'll tell you what to do. You two men write out a note there. Write out your allegation. And then sign your names to it. And we'll take it from there. Of course they didn't do that. The manliness had all left them when it come to them being involved. But what were they doing? They're actually taking the gun and holding it to that minister's head saying, here's what you do or we're going to leave. And Christian, you may not be a minister, but you can think of situations in your life. And people come to you, and if you didn't behave in a certain way, it was going to cost you. In the situation with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, it was very extreme, of course. It was going to cost them their lives. But you can think, and I know that many Christians have said to me, so-and-so wants me to do this, and I know if I don't do it, things are never going to be the same. Yes, they still put their hand up at me, but it's not just the way it used to be. And we don't like that happening. We don't like that happening, because the flesh wants us to be in the same friendship as we always were. And we don't like it when people put us in that position. But that's exactly the position these men here were put in. A fellow said to me one time, many years ago now, back then he wasn't in this country, he was in England, he said to me, he made an accusation about another man, and he said, now, he said, when you go to your oversight with this, keep me out of it. I said, hold on a wee minute. If this goes any further than here, and I had a very, very good idea that he was lying, that he was jealous of the other man. And I said, if this goes any further than here, you'll be a very good part of it, because exactly what you said to me, I will ask you to say that before the oversight. And that was the end of it. He come and he put the gun to my head. That other man I mentioned to you, someone put the gun to their head. These cases may be a little more extreme than what you may experience, Christian, but you know, last week in work, this week in your place of employment, you might be put in a position where people are going to do something, and you know that if you don't go that way, it's not going to be the same. And let's make it a little bit more personal for us. And in some degree, some of us here have experienced this in family circles. Those that we love the most. Those that we love the most may sometime be wanting us to go in a way that would be dishonouring to the Lord. Or else the relationship's going to be strained, and we don't want that. And it's going to cost us if we're faithful to the Lord. And more as time goes on, we can think of people who once would have been in meetings like this, and they were enjoying the word, they were enjoying being among God's people, and someone come along and they said, listen, we want you to do this, and in a nice way they were putting the gun to their head, and they did it. They did it for the sake of the relationship. And you know something, brothers and sisters, they lost out with the Lord. They lost out with the Lord. Notice something else here. Not only did these men make a choice that would not have been the natural choice, but notice here as well that the confidence, and this is very important, the confidence of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego was not in man's compassion or man's reason. They looked beyond the king altogether. Now, the awful alternative was there. They were going to go into this fire, but they stood firm. They were not relying on Nebuchadnezzar as a fellow human being, thinking, well, you know, we'll not be just as severe on them. Let's give them another chance. They weren't relying on anything like that. But their confidence was in the Lord. If you look there at the beginning of verse 17, it says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Now, when they were saying there, he will deliver us out of thine hand, you know that this, know that they said in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, if God decides to deliver us, he will deliver us. And if he allows us to go into the burning fiery furnace and to perish there, well, we're still not going to, if we think that's going to be the case, we're still not going to bow down to your image. We're going to stand firm here because he is, as you notice in verse 17, he is our God. Of course, when they were saying those words in verse 18, they were not certain of the outcome at all. If you take in your Bible sometime at home and look in Acts chapter 12, I'm going to read it for you now. It says there in Acts chapter 12 and verse 2, Herod, referring to Herod, it says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And in verse 7, it says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, that is Peter, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter in the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Yet these two men in prison, James and Peter, James is killed, Peter is released. The Lord delivered the both of them. He delivered the both of them. Yes, he delivered them in very different ways, but he still delivered them. If you look there again in verse 17, it says, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. These are words, brothers and sisters, of faith. They knew the fire was very hot. They knew that no hope of escape. But they knew that ultimately God's hand was upon the situation. They'd given it entirely into his hand. And folks, when your trials come and your troubles come, I've mentioned some, and it is heartbreaking when you hear even of young Christians and some other young Christian has come along, and as we said, they've held the gun to their head and we said, you want you to do this, and if you don't do it, then there's a losing out with your friends. Losing out with those who are important to you. And when your trouble comes, Christian, whether it's regarding family, and I'm being very careful when I use that word, far be it from me to sow discord among any family, but this is reality. Whether it's family or workmates or your social circle, or whether the trouble comes regarding your health or some vendetta that you feel is against you, It is very important for us, just like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, to remember that God is in control of it all. Remember Romans 8:20, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, it is easy to read that verse, but these men were putting it into practice. They were putting it into practice. All things work together for good for James. Herod killed him, but he went to be with the Lord. All things work together for Peter. He was released. We know, of course, eventually he was killed, but he was released at that time. All things were working together for good for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, verse 17 and 18, if God gets us out of the situation, good, and if he doesn't, well, we're standing firm. We're standing firm. God is in control here. Someone said that concerning fiery trial, that you pass through the filter of God's perfect plan for you. You pass through the filter of God's perfect plan for you. The truth is, as well, that sometimes you may be tempted to quit. You may be sick and think, well, I'm sick and I'm tired of it and I don't want to be sick anymore. I'm just going to give up on it. I'm going to stop praying and all of that. And all of the other things we mentioned. Friction situation with loved ones or with friends. Situation you have to face, Christian, every single day in your workplace, perhaps. Maybe the language is just more than you can handle. You feel, well, I've had it of this. I just can't have it anymore. Or that person that's antagonizing me in work, I just can't stick it anymore. Well, please do remember that if you're walking closely with the Lord as these men were, that God is in control. And your confidence is not to be in man, because he let you down. And the best of men can let the best of men down. But your confidence is to be in the Lord. And that will change everything as far as our seeing the situation is concerned. You can read over there, and I read it in 2 Corinthians. It's an experience of Paul. It says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, speaking here about this thorn in the flesh, you'll see that there was the danger of pride. He's a man of tremendous ability. And with that would come the obvious danger of pride. It says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations which was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted. The word buffet means maltreated. Satan, the messenger of Satan to maltreat me, lest I should be exalted above measure. It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what the Lord was saying to him there? This thing is not pleasant, but it's limited. Because I'm in control. I'm in control here. And Paul, it will not be any worse for you than what my grace that I will give you can handle. That made a tremendous difference to him there. And it says there in verse 9, most gladly therefore, in other words, because of that, will I glory in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The word rest there is an interesting word. It is from the same word as we get the word tabernacle, or even in John 1 and 14, dwelt. It's really referring to strength in a time of weakness. That's really what Paul was promised here, and that was what he experienced. God's grace would be such to him at that time that in spite of his awful weakness, he would know strength. Is it any wonder he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Christ strengthened him, and very often in very adverse circumstances, not least his health, and not least the situation here where he had this mess, this thing that was constantly troubling him, this thorn in the flesh. And his confidence was totally in the Lord. Whenever I went to be in England, the first person that I met there was a man called Jack, who came to lift me at the train station, first time I went, and as a visiting speaker way back near 12 years ago. And he and I got on very well, and he'd been an old soldier many years ago, been around a lot of the world and all, and he wasn't that well. he wasn't that well, and situation came around, and he used to take really ill at times, and he didn't get medication. I went in to see him this time, and he wasn't the sort of man who would have wanted you running after him. He didn't want to cause any bother, but I wanted to go and see him, and I went to see him, and boy, he was real bad. And I said, listen, Jack, what are they going to do? They're not going to do this operation. You need to go for this operation. He just looked at me. He said, I'm not going. He said, I'm too old now for that kind of operation. There's only a certain percentage chance that it will work. And he said, I'm relying totally on the Lord. It's only a few days after that, I got a phone call one night that he passed away. Didn't go for the operation, but he relied on the Lord. And brothers and sisters, his confidence was not in man. His confidence was in the Lord. On a human level, it was a very difficult situation to observe. I'd love to have made him have the operation. He couldn't do that. Couldn't do that for him. But his confidence was in the Lord. And maybe your situation is a lot less serious than that, and it's just something that's eating away at you. It's discouraging you. It's distressing you. See, when God saves a person and you're a Christian, you become quite a sensitive person. Your feelings are easily hurt, perhaps far easier than they used to be. Why? Because the Lord has given to us a new nature. And we're sensitive. And these things upset us, but remember this, as these men had to do. Do not put your confidence ultimately in man, or do not put your confidence in man's compassion or in man's reason. Because man is sinful. And his heart's deceitful. Put your confidence in the Lord and rely upon him. Notice here that in this fire, they were not alone. Now, the king there, when he looked into the fiery furnace, he mentions that they put three people in, and they said, that is right, to the king. And he answered in verse 25 and said, lo, I see four men loose working in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, I cannot explain all of that verse, but this I do know, that the Lord was with them there. The Lord was with them in that situation. That the presence of the Lord, they had the preservation of the Lord. Here he was preserving them. Remember that as well in your trial. The Lord can preserve you. He can preserve you in the trial. Notice there in verse 27 that the Lord's great ability is made plain. Verse 27, and the princes, governors, captains, the king's counselors were gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. This had to be the Lord's doing. The game was up as far as Nebuchadnezzar and his men executing these people is concerned. It was up as far as those who set them up and those who delivered them was concerned, because the Lord was with them. You see, when you're out, Christian, maybe in a place that in a difficult situation in your work, that maybe I don't even understand just how difficult it is for you, and you're trying to live for the Lord there, remember this: when people have turned their back on you, in whatever situation it is, whereas closer to you individually than that or not, even relatives, remember this: the Lord hasn't left you. The Lord hasn't left you. He's with you, and he's with you in that special way when it's really difficult. The Lord was with them there, and I must finish here. I want to mention something else. There was great reward for their faithfulness. Someone said that God had a very high agenda, a very high agenda in allowing these men to go through the fire. What was that high agenda? That agenda was to bring glory to himself. For if you look with me, please, in verse 29, it says, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Things have completely turned around now. You see, when trouble comes your way, from whatever quarter it comes, ultimately, it is for God's glory. And there are plenty of people with plenty of problems, and ultimately, it is for God's glory. Now, it's very difficult to see it that way when you're in the circumstances I'm just like you. It's easy to be faithful when the sun's shining brightly in the sky. It's a different story when there's problems. And one of the worst problems that the Christian can face is antagonism or resentment from other people. We do not look upon it lightly, because it's not easy to live with. But all of this happened to these men, and they were promoted, and glory was brought to the Lord. Do you remember Peter? And this is another thought regarding the fire here. Peter was a remarkable character in many ways, but he was a little bit full of self, a very proud man. But then he wrote in those epistles, he's exhorting people to be humble and to put others first and to love the brethren and all of those different exhortations that he has, because his trouble, remember he said, Lord, all men may forsake you, but I'll never do it. Of course he did it. He denied the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego didn't. He did, with those and curses as well. But he was restored to the Lord, and he was able to write those very important epistles that are so precious to the Christian. Do you remember Jacob? His name means supplanter or twister. And his new name, Israel, means prince of God. Situation turned around, you see. And God was able to use the situation, because in his difficult situation, Jacob committed himself totally to the Lord. Peter gave himself wholeheartedly to the Lord. And both men were extremely useful for the Lord after their time of difficulty and trial. And I trust that the Lord will continue to encourage you this year. But you'll always bear in mind that faithfulness can cost. It can cost these men. But ultimately, the reward was great. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to your heart. And if you're facing trouble at the present time, may you be enabled by God's grace, just like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, to lean hard upon him and to know much of his comfort and help at this time.